Everyone, welcome to Ohio Exopolitics. It's 4:30 p.m. on the 10th of August, 2020, and as I've been doing lately, I'm going to play a clip. Try to keep it a short clip at the very beginning of the program here, and then we'll get on with the rest.
And none of that's true, obviously. Just like Russiagate, Ukrainegate, all of it's fake. They're illegitimate. They're the ones that say the country shouldn't even exist. They're the ones sending out illegal mail-in ballots everywhere. So they've set it up where if the president in any way challenges any of this, he needs to be overthrown. And if he challenges the election, which they say will be contested, he needs to be overthrown. They're the only ones that are allowed to contest or do anything. But they're introducing the idea of removing him by force and having the riots and the destabilization and all of it ahead of making that move to legitimize it, not after he refuses to step down if he loses the election, but before. That's how they introduce the idea. And you're already under lockdown. There's already race riots being staged. And you're already hearing about sieges of the White House and how it needs to be overthrown. This is the climate they're putting out so people in the government and media believe it's normal and go along with it when it all unfolds. Here's the special report from Band.Video. We'll play it. We'll come back from break and lay all of this out and how we stop it and what's coming next. But please remember, you've got to get this video out. It's election 2020. Stay with us.
A so-called anti-fascist website is encouraging, quote, all manner of physical violence against Trump supporters and capitalists.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's an actor dressed to look just like President Donald Trump as he's assassinated on stage.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
I'll join a million other people surrounding the United States Capitol.
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
This is a national emergency.
Joe Biden says he is concerned President Trump will try to steal the November election.
This president's going to try to steal this election.
This is a trial run for the President of the United States, who may be organizing to not accept what happens when we have the election.
If he loses, then I expect that he will, then we have to be prepared for what he is going to do in the immediate aftermath of such a loss.
Whether he knows it yet or not, he will be leaving.
I'm here to have four chiefs of staff coming out and ripping the skin off of Trump. And you have so many rank and file military personnel saying, whoa, we're not a military state. This is not who we are.
If he's not elected, is he going to pull out his military? Is he going to engage us? They've already alluded to there may be a civil war.
He is clearly trying to ignite a civil war in this country.
These are not acts of peaceful protest. These are acts of domestic terror.
Seriously, Mr. President? First of all, I think it's the obligation of some executive branch officials to refuse to carry out some of these orders.
Just because he might not want to move out of the White House doesn't mean we won't have an inauguration.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
I promise you, I'm absolutely convinced they will escort him from the White House with great dispatch.
Government's going to kill this guy.
So I have a lot of enemies out there. This may be the last time you'll see me for a while. A lot of very, very rich enemies, but they are not happy with what I'm doing. But I think we have one chance to do it, and no other president's going to do what I do.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now.
Well, very interesting clip. Some say that Trump could be assassinated. It certainly sounds like the Civil War is a very big possibility. And we've talked about that before, and I think it's Contact Report 215. The Henoc prophecies say that there'll be two bloody civil wars in the United States, and that the country will be divided into, I believe, five different sections. I'm hoping that that can be avoided. That's one of the reasons why I try to do this show. So worst doesn't come to worst, but it certainly seems in some ways to be headed that way. I wanted to start the program out with a couple concepts concerning anxiety and doubt. And I know a lot of people are probably living with anxiety and doubt right now. Might have thoughts, page 168, but that is bound with the necessity of rigorously excluding anxiety and doubt because they are evil elements of disintegration, which are able to break or bend every straight line of every evolutive effort and make all efforts useless. Another line from the same page, page 168 of the Might of Thoughts book. Anxious and doubtful thoughts never lead to progress and success. Consequently, nothing which has a positive value can ever be achieved as a result of them. Rather, at all levels, only that which is negative. And finally, Might of Thoughts again, page 168. From that it follows that anxiety and doubt are the greatest enemies of knowledge. And if they appear, they are able to destroy and annihilate everything. That is one of the things that anxiety and doubt do, is they wipe out knowledge. Something I try to keep in mind, because an anxious thought can come sometimes and not be completely registered. Like sometimes a little anxious thought can come in there and you don't even detect that you've had an anxious thought, and then the feeling grows out of it. And the feeling will also produce like a feeling of anxiety or doubt. And then you'll be more conscious of your anxiety and doubt. The maintenance of doubt in no way has anything to do with a healthy, logical, and knowledge-demanding search for the truth, because doubt is always symptomatic of a prevailing deficit in regard to clear vision. And this has proven to be true with me the more I've studied this, is the clearer vision you can get of something, the less anxiety and the doubt. And it's almost like your intentions start to kick in. And that's like the zeal. You have an intention for success. And you're starting to imagine the little parts of success as they come together as a possibility. And then the anxiety and the doubt go away. And then the might of your thoughts kick in. And I believe there's a link here that goes up to the Future of Mankind site that talks a little bit. I think this is from the book on page 208, one of Billy's books called A Bit of Knowledge, Sense, and Wisdom. The maintenance of doubt has in no way anything to do with a healthy, logical, and knowledge-demanding search for the truth, because doubt is always symptomatic of a prevailing deficit in regard to clear vision and clear recognition, through which the effective facts of things, connections, and realities, which are brought together in the basic truth, are recognized. The truth itself, however, rests in the cognition of the nature of that which is factual, and thereby in the nature of effective reality. If clear vision and clear recognition are consciously and appropriately exercised and extensively realized, then every trace of doubt disappears, because now the complete reality is seen and recognized, and with it, the fundamental actual truth. So the clearer, I guess, you imagine success, and one good thing to do is imagine success. And that seems to push out, that's like you having a vision of success, a clear vision. So get rid, if you can, of anxiety and doubt. And you have to recognize when it occurs too. And then also, of course, following the law of system and order. Solely by the law of system and order, the whole universe will be maintained. And this law of system and order says your daily life has to be structured properly. and has to have a schedule. And you try to adhere to this schedule in every respect. I'll read here. It says, what is demanded of us within the material sphere of life that will enable us to shape our life in accordance with the system of law and order, or the law of system and order? For this law to become effective in our daily life, many factors have to be considered. Among them, I deem the important to be learned and observed: reliability, conscientiousness, punctuality, exactness, discipline, correctness, sense of duty, orderliness. So we're trying to create a schedule that you can follow. And it seems like a lot of work sometimes, but it's very funny. The work and the effort becomes a habit. And it's a good habit to have certain kinds. That means your time and your effort is going towards something that you want to achieve, even if it's just cleaning your garage out or learning a musical instrument or learning the Meyer information, physical exercise. Put a schedule in place. It really helps a lot. Another interesting passage that I've come across lately, again in the Might of Thoughts, is on page 142. It says, lower thoughts form lower feelings, lower habits, and lower circumstances, such as alcoholism, hate, affliction, resentment, and it goes on. So let's break this down again. Lower thoughts form lower feelings. Neder Gedanken formen Neder Gefühlen in the German. Lower thoughts form lower feelings because the feelings grow out of the thoughts. The feelings help the thoughts discharge some of their energy so your thoughts don't run hot. They also simplify things. So a very complicated situation can be kind of summarized as a feeling. So feelings make life more bearable, and they can be very, very helpful. But remember, the feeling grows out of the thought. And then if the feelings continue, you'll start to develop habits based on those feelings. They'll be like hunches. You know, you'll say, you know, I think I ought to spend some time doing this, A, B, and C every day. And then that's A, B, and C begins to be part of your schedule in the system and order creation of natural law. So, and where this fits in is into striving, the creational natural law of striving. So you're starting to develop good habits based on good feelings and good thoughts. And then you have good circumstances in your life. But if you allow the lower thoughts and lower feelings like anxiety and doubt to come in, then you have habits. You'll develop a habit of thinking in a negative or unhealthy way. And that will bring in bad circumstances, such as, quote, alcoholism, hate, affliction, resentment, sorrow, grief, bitterness, errors of judgment, and so forth, and many kinds of suffering. A lot of suffering grows out of our own mental disharmony. Good circumstances in your life come out of your mental harmony. So one thing is good to learn is you're always practicing self-cognition. You're always looking at yourself saying, do I have mental harmony right now? Didn't I just let a little bit of anxiety and doubt in? Didn't I just let a little bit? I think I just had an anxious, doubtful thought. When it makes a whole lot more sense to always be confident. You know, again, there's things that I tell myself continually. I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic, I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift on the ocean of life. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. I nurture my thoughts. I strengthen my thoughts. I clarify my thoughts. It is the nature of the thoughts that by their might alone, every conceivable thing can be brought to fruition. Every conceivable thing can be brought to fruition by the might of your thoughts. Now that's a huge statement. Now in contrast to that, by the might of your thoughts, terrible circumstances can occur. For example, tangled ideas confuse the thoughts and cause them to go from one extreme to another, which creates a misdirection of the thoughts and triggers emotions, which can lead to murder and manslaughter. So now you've murdered someone just based on you're allowing your thoughts to get out of control. So, and this is a perfect lead-in, totally accidental on my part. But there is a Contact Report 247, which talks about Charles Lindbergh, who was like the first guy to cross the Atlantic in an airplane. He found a woman he really cared for, and he was about to marry her. And then he met her sister, and he fell in love with the sister like an idiot and dropped the first one. And then the lady that was crushed, and she went a little crazy, and she ended up killing the baby between Charles Lindbergh and her sister. And it's just a horrible, terrible mess. And I'm going to read some of it now. And it's a perfect example of the thoughts where tangled ideas confuse the thoughts. Once confusion comes in, it's really bad for a human being. If you ever feel yourself confused, do your best to just relax. Try to let everything go. You know, exhale, relax, let it all go. No more tension. And then start to try to get a little clarity in things. One thing you don't want is tangled ideas to confuse your thoughts. And then your thoughts can go from one extreme to another, which is a misdirection of the thoughts. And for some reason, when our thoughts are going from extremes like that, that's when the emotion is triggered. Remember, emotions are different than feelings. Feelings grow out of the thoughts. Feelings grow out of the thoughts. They're life-sustaining. They enable quick processing of internal and external stimuli. So you could be getting some bad feelings, you know, in the case of something bad's going wrong. But the feelings will make life easier and bearable, and the feelings allow the thoughts to discharge so they don't get too hot. And they deliver a certain power. The feelings deliver power to the psyche. So if you can add a little positive to those negative thoughts, or try to add a lot of positive to the negative thoughts, then that will help your psyche. The feelings tend to manifest slowly, and that's different than the emotions, which tend to erupt. Feelings can be long-lasting, where emotions are usually short. And if it were not for the feelings, the thoughts would be confused. Matter of Thoughts, page 104. Feelings are very important and therefore also extremely useful. Consequently, they must not be fought and eliminated. And I think a lot of times boys are taught to fight their feelings, and they really shouldn't. Feelings are perfectly helpful as well as normal. It must never be forgotten or disregarded that feelings have an existential and therefore life-sustaining significance and function, for which reason they are useful and must not simply be stifled and abolished nor manipulated in a one-sided form. Feelings enable a quick and automatic procedure for the processing of relevant endogenous, which means internal or environmental stimuli. Life is also easier for the human being and thereby bearable at all because of the feelings. The thoughts need an opportunity to discharge their powers so that they do not become excessive and do not become confusing. However, this discharging opportunity is the feelings which are formed by the might of the thoughts, and which turn in turn must also discharge themselves. For that reason, deliver their form power to the psyche. So what does it mean to be confused? It means to disturb, to throw off, to disturb the mind, to make indistinct, to blur things, to fail to differentiate from an often similar or related other thing, to mix things, to jumble things. So thoughts are very important, and feelings come out of thoughts. And I was going to read a little bit of this contact report, which is an example of how negative thoughts can create disasters in your life. Lindbergh, Patas says, Lindbergh was the first person on Earth to cross the Atlantic into Europe in an airplane. Billy says, I know the history of Lindbergh. What I want to know is whether the German-American immigrant Bruno Richard Hauptmann was actually the murderer of the Lindbergh child, and whether he actually kidnapped it, as has been claimed since that event. Hauptmann denied until his death on the electric chair on the 3rd of April 1936 that he was guilty and that he had never seen Lindbergh, his child, or his house, etc. Ta says, our very detailed investigations are partly based on chronic records of the events at that time, where, and Billy says, what kind of chronic records? Ta says, records relating to our own archives. Billy says, good, because I don't want to rely on chronic records of earthlings, so tell me, please. Ta says, Bruno Richard Hauptmann, the American immigrant from Germany, rightly asserted his innocence until his execution. He was indeed innocent, although a large part of the blackmailed ransom was found with him. His assertion that he had the money in custody only for an acquaintance who had given it to him in faithful hands was true in every detail. The acquaintance of Hauptmann was in cahoots with Lindbergh and received a lot of money from him to give the alleged blackmail money to Bruno Richard Hauptmann for that reason, that it could be later found with him. This ensured that Bruno Richard Hauptmann could be arrested and charged as a child abductor and child murderer as a result of the falsified charge material, which actually happened after Hauptmann had been denounced. Thus, everything contributed to his being sentenced to death and executed. In deliberate guilt of the American hero Lindbergh, who had the actual death sentences, the real murderess of his child, and he consciously saved her from arrest and from the electric chair by inventing a deceitful and infamous intrigue against Bruno Richard Hauptmann, with the lie that his child had been kidnapped, while in reality had already been murdered and hidden in the vicinity of the Lindbergh house. The murderess was Lindbergh's former fiancée, Elizabeth Morrow, whom he suddenly spurned one day because he liked her sister, Anne Morrow, better, with whom he subsequently became engaged and married her. Elizabeth Morrow, Lindbergh's former fiancée, could not cope with this. We go back to the thoughts. She has tangled ideas. Her thoughts are confused. They go from one extreme to another. A misdirection of the thoughts, it triggers emotions. In this case, it leads to murder. She increasingly, so again, Elizabeth Morrow, Lindbergh's former fiancée, could not cope with this, as a result of which she increasingly terrorized the entire Lindbergh house and its inhabitants with terrible jealousy scenes. And when the Lindbergh baby was born of her sister Anne, she tried to kill her sister, by all means. So she's, her emotions are triggered, and she's becoming vicious. She's striking back. It's very much the way Billy lays that all out. There is no room for rationality in these basically wrong ideational thoughts, for only irrationality exists there. And that's exactly the pattern we all follow when we do things. Hopefully we never do this. We never murder. At least, goodness sakes, could not cope with this, as a result of which she increasingly terrorized the entire Lindbergh house and its inhabitants with terrible jealousy scenes. And when the Lindbergh baby was born of her sister Anne, she tried to kill her sister by all means. Lindbergh and his wife Anne knew this, so they never left the child unattended with Elizabeth Morrow. One day, however, Lindbergh and his wife Anne were forced to leave without being able to take their child with them or give it to someone else's care, leaving it with Elizabeth Morrow. When Lindbergh and his wife Anne returned home, they were received by a distraught Elizabeth Morrow, who sobbed and confessed that she had murdered the child in a fit of jealousy by hitting her head on the tiles and shattering his skull. Isn't that ghastly? So it's a very important little verse to take good watch of. When tangled ideas confuse the thoughts and cause them to go from one extreme to another. How extreme it is when you decide you're going to kill a child who has absolutely no guilt whatsoever in any of this. So it's completely irrational. It's like Billy says, there is no room for rationality in these basically wrong ideational thoughts. When tangled ideas confuse the thoughts and abruptly go from one extreme to another, whereby a misdirection of thoughts arises which triggers emotions and can even lead to murder and manslaughter. The ideas, remember, they're incompletely developed factors which must be thoroughly contemplated. So we need to go back over these tangled ideas that we have and recontemplate them again. Now, the only problem with doing that is sometimes that can even lead to additional angst when you go back. But you got to try your best to untangle as much of this as possible when your thoughts go this way. And the thoughts in this state are not organized at all. And don't allow yourself to go into frantic behavior. There's kind of a cause and effect here. Tangled ideas tend to confuse the thoughts. The thoughts go abruptly to extremes. There's a misdirection of the thoughts. Emotions are triggered. And that leads to violence. So we want to keep things in order. Do not allow the thoughts to become tangled. But when they do, recognize the danger. Don't allow the emotions to be triggered. Go to a wish dream. Go to something completely neutral. Even if you've got to do, immediately take your mind off of the mess. Avoid the murder and manslaughter. Because when your brain is in that condition, there's no room for virtue and rationality in the consciousness. Irrationality and virtuelessness start to take over control. Anyway, hope you've enjoyed the program. We're already out of time. That's pretty amazing. Hope you're doing well. Hang in there. I know there's a lot of challenges. lately. Have a great day.